Yo, what's up, Chums? I'm sorry, it's just how I all feel. I had to do it. No. How are you guys doing? John, Nate?
I think we're on the same page. It's been one of those days, but you know, we're ready to record the podcast and get things rolling. Honestly, it's what I've been looking forward to all day, and I've been doing mock drafts and looking at our dynasty league. So that has consumed a large amount of time that I've spent at work over the past like week and a half. I feel like I'm finally shifting gears to be full speed ahead in the fantasy season. So yeah, the work itself, not a great time, but I've been looking forward to the podcast. So we're here.
Yeah, Nate, how are you feeling? Obviously, our main league is talking about some serious stuff, so it's a little bit stressful for the past few minutes. But
yep, it's likewise to what John said. It's starting to feel like that time of the season again, where some draft talk starts happening. We actually, in one of my work dynasty leagues, just completed a blockbuster three-team trade involving four first-round picks, a top four tight end, and a couple little cherries on top. So
wait, who's the tight end?
It was Darren Waller.
Okay, so not top four tight end. Cool.
Choosing violence already today.
Lately. I'm sorry. Yeah.
Nothing has changed.
Were you involved in it, Nate?
I was. I was very much involved. It definitely got the juices flowing a little bit. Now we've got getting word that the season's only about 7 to 8 weeks away. I'm really ready to go now. So, yep, like John, I'd be lying if I said I hadn't been doing a few mocks at work.
It's just nice. Your homework in. It's nice to have, like, sitting next to you. Like, especially if you do it on sleeper and you set your pick time to, like, whatever, 2 hours. It's nice to have it, like, sitting there. It's like, you know, now that we know our draft positions for our primary league, it's, you know, it's crunch time. This is the most fun part of the fantasy year to me.
Oh, like yeah. It's the best.
Those like two months to 6 weeks leading up to your drafts. I mean, you're just dialed in. Like you wake up thinking about fantasy football. Or at least we do. I can't say that.
John, why don't you tell the people what draft pick you got?
I got the first pick in our league. It's also accompanied by the
to the first thing we're talking about. John, this is all you, so why don't you take it over? We're doing basically a headbands version of
I'm gonna call this Who Am I. So we're on a Zoom call and everybody can see each other or else we do this actually, but we're gonna say that Layton and Nate both have note cards on their heads. And those note cards have the names of players on them, and they're going to be trying to guess who is on their forehead. So I have individually texted both Nate and Layton, and they have their assignments, and I know that they're both just chomping at the bit to get going. So yes or no questions only, guys, and take it away.
Who's going first?
Let's say, Nate, you get the first question.
Okay, I get the first question.
Oh, man.
All right, and these are all offensive players only, correct? Offensive skill positions?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Mitchell Schwartz.
is my player. I should also – is it all active players?
So active players only, offensive skill positions only.
Okay. Is my player in the AFC?
No.
All right.
But I know my player's in the AFC.
No. So, is my player a wide receiver?
Yes. Is my player?
Well, wait, is it shoot till you miss?
No, it's not make or take it. No
okay,
way.
Okay, it's not make or take it.
Then Nate would run away with it because John gave him a
I was heating up.
Is my player running back?
Yes. All right. Is my player has my player played more than 5 years in the NFL?
That's a great question. I have to look it up.
The answer is no.
I'm
99% sure. But yeah, you guys continue on. I'll fact check it.
No, he has not.
Okay.
Let's see. Does my player play on a team that is located west of the Mississippi?
You do.
Okay.
Or your player does.
Yeah.
Yes.
there it is.
Yes or no questions. Okay, yeah. All right. Does my player play on a team west of the Mississippi?
No, he does not. Does my player play in the AFC? Or, no, sorry, NFC West.
Yes.
Oh, I know who it is.
Okay. Does my player play in the NFC South?
Yes.
Okay. Wow. This is getting intense. Okay, so before any guesses are made, a guess is equivalent to a turn. So if you guess a player, you forfeit your opportunity to ask a question.
Right, we're not heathens.
All right, just making sure.
Okay, is my player, has he been in the league for 3 years or less?
Less.
Wait.
They have been in the league less than three years.
Yeah. I didn't frame that right, but okay.
Has my... Does my player play on the Tampa Bay Bucks?
No.
Okay.
Is my player Cam Akers?
No.
Oh, I thought John was going to do it to me.
All right. This is starting round 8 of your questions.
Okay. Does my player play on the Panthers?
Yes.
Okay.
Is my player Elijah Mitchell?
Yes.
Dang.
Yes.
All right, Nate, I'll give you – so Layton did beat you because you got to ask the first question. But I'll give you a redemption shot here.
Is it DJ Moore?
Oh, let's go. Wow.
Let's go.
I was about to guess Terrace Marshall.
Dude, that well done, question was amazing. When I pulled that out, I was like, hang on. There's only like 5 teams in the west of the Mississippi, so let's just knock them out.
that was a very good question. I did not think of that, but I definitely stole it after you used it.
And then I was like, okay, when you said it was in the NFC West, I was like, it's going to be Elijah Mitchell or Cam Akers.
I really wish you would have given Leighton Lamar Jackson, John. If you asked me, he's a running back. Some may say.
Oh, my gosh. That would have been great.
All right, should we move on to the – that was fun. Should we move on to the ADP price check?
Yup.
All right.
John, this was also your idea.
Yeah. This is going to be the focus of this episode. We're calling this the ADP price check episode, where we highlight the ADP of where players are currently going based off of sleeper 10-team drafts, full PPR. And we basically give you an idea of, you know, are we digging it? Are we not? Are they overdrafted? Are they underdrafted? So I'm going to go ahead and start out my first player that I chose was T. Higgins. Been a super popular target this offseason. I feel like that of all the guys who are coming from last year of not having, you know, a huge season per se, I feel like he has experienced the most hype coming into this season. His ADP is all the way up to 33.6. So it's just hard for me to imagine. I mean, his projected stats are 86 receptions for 1,160 yards and 8 touchdowns. Personally, I don't see any world where it does. I mean, Tyler Boyd is still around. Joe Mixon is still going to be a top 5 running back on the season, I would imagine. And then they also have Samaje Perine, who is a pass catcher, and it's been rumored that he's going to get a lot of the third down work for that offense.
And just Jamar Chase.
Yeah, and forgot to mention, you know, probably a top 5 receiver in the NFL. He did get snubbed from the Madden top 10. I saw that. He was not in the top 10 Madden ratings. But, yeah, I think the connection is it just exists between Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase. And for T. Higgins, this is his – is it his third or fourth season in the NFL?
It's his third season.
For him to kind of break out in his, you know, in his junior year of the NFL, I feel like that just doesn't happen very often. I feel like that jump typically comes in the sophomore season rather than that third year. So I would be surprised for this being the year that he takes a leap, but that's just my take on it. It seems like he's being overdrafted where he stands right now at ADP of 33.6.
You could argue he did break out his sophomore year and then Joe Burrow got hurt.
There's definitely an argument to be made for it, but I don't know. It seems like those guys who are super talented, they have an insane year. Like, you know, like, I don't know. There's definitely an argument to be made.
I just don't see when Joe Burrow was playing, he had 10 plus points every week.
Yeah. I think an important thing that I'm seeing here is like if T. Higgins is basically on maybe your first page of wide receivers, borderline second page, none of the other options around there are going to be second on their team already. And I think T. Higgins is like for sure he's going to be behind Jamar Chase as a focal point for the offense. And I mean, there's a connection with Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase to begin with, coming from LSU and what they displayed last year. T. Higgins, I couldn't agree more. I'm probably staying away from it. If he fell in my lap, I would probably be taking him over a few other people that come after him, just because I think they're still in a good offense. Personally, I think the offense is going to see a little bit of a regression this year, but that's an argument for another time. But.
So just to further put it into perspective, that is the wide receiver 12 on the season is what he's being projected as. He's the third option on that offense. Even in the peak of the Kansas City Chiefs era with Tyreek Hill, Travis Kelce, and whoever you want to argue as a third option, whether it's Clyde or whether it's McCole, neither one of those guys came close to that sort of production, partially because Clyde was injured and McCole didn't turn out into what we thought he was going to be, or Sammy Watkins. It is very hard to do, even on a super powerful offense. So just be weary of that and understand that this does not happen very often. Something has to give.
Yeah, so my thing is, I totally think you're drafting him in a ceiling, which is why I'm avoiding him. Like, if he finishes as a wide receiver 12, I'm not going to be like, oh, wow, well, that's surprising. But, like, I'm not going to draft him as a wide receiver 12, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right, you want me to hop into mine?
Yeah, Nate, go ahead.
All right, so the first player that I'm going to highlight as somebody that I think is going to be overdrafted for what their ADP is Deontay Johnson. Currently on Sleeper, his ADP is 39.7. And he is currently listed at wide receiver 13. So he's just behind T. Higgins off Sleeper's rankings. I'm very scared with Deontay for this year. I think he finished as wide receiver 8 last year in PPR. The gap between his PPR finish and standard league finish was pretty drastic. I think he was like 15 in standard, maybe, which just is, that's his game, is kind of short, shallow routes, shallow receptions. And last year, the Pittsburgh offense was really a perfect system for his game. I mean, Ben Roethlisberger didn't have much arm strength to display, and so he was kind of eaten just not far from the line of scrimmage. He's projected a little over 1,000 yards receiving this year, 6 touchdowns. I'm a little scared of Deontay. I honestly think I'm not going to say I'm not touching anybody in the Steelers offense this year as far as the receiving core. I think if you go and look at where Chase Claypool is, just a name, I can't remember his ADP off the top of my head, but he is way down there in some of these draft boards. And I think I like the value there a lot more. Big play potential. He's ADP 106 right now on Sleeper, which is ridiculous.
Wow.
Somebody who, I mean, yeah, he's a bigger body X receiver that I think, depending on what the quarterback situation is in Pittsburgh, I could see Claypool breaking out this year, but I see Deontay. But again, you're definitely drafting him at his ceiling here. I don't know how he finishes better than wide receiver 13 this year.
Yeah, I'm definitely just kind of same thing. You're drafting him at his ceiling again. And the offense was bad last year, and it's going to be worse this year.
And that offense flows through Najee Harris. It just does. Even with rumors of decreased usage for Najee, I know that's – which it blows my mind. That doesn't make any sense to me, why that they would decrease the number of touches that Najee can get, because he's clearly the most talented guy in that offense. But
oh, I don't know about that.
Oh, really?
I think Deontay Johnson's more talented, yeah.
More talented than Najee Harris?
Yeah.
Okay. I just completely disagree with that.
Well, that's okay.
But
Nate, tiebreaker.
George Pickens is most talented.
All right, that's fair. All right, Nate wins.
Anyway, so I don't know. I'm not a Deontay Johnson guy. I never really have been. Even last season, I think he finished what, like wide receiver 9, was it?
Eight.
He finished last
eight.
Year
eight in PPR.
Yeah, so even with that, I've never been a huge fan, and I could very easily see Trubisky starting out the season as the starter, but not finishing it, and I think that's just tough for an offense to go through that cycle of switching quarterbacks mid-season or even late season. It's hard to develop a rhythm, so yeah, I'm not a big Deontay Johnson guy for this fantasy season.
Yeah, so I guess I'll go on to my person or my player. My player this year is David Montgomery. I know at least one person here is against me. I am very bearish on him. He's ADP is around 35, which, you know, that's early round 4 territory, late round 3, depending on how your people draft. But he was the RB19 last year, and dude, he scares me. I just don't understand like why people are drafting him so high. Not saying like he's super high, but I think there's a lot of players behind him I'd rather shoot my shot with. I know he's going to be the primary guy. He plays like 60% of the snaps, but that offense is going to be horrible. Bears are going to be bad. They're going to be losing a lot, so they're not going to run the ball. His only option is catching the ball, and he only averaged 4 targets a game last year, and that was inflated by a couple where he had 9 targets in a couple of games. So, you know, typically you're looking at about 3 to, you know, around like 3 more likely if you throw out those 2 games. So I know he's a good player, but the offense stinks. And I just don't see how it could really work out for him. Last year, how many touchdowns? He had 7 touchdowns last year. I could see that number going down if I'm being honest. So I'm very out on David Montgomery. I don't really have a lot of stats to back it up, but this one's just more like the Bears are just going to be so bad and they're going to be down a lot. I'm kind of avoiding him.
It's kind of hard to argue with that. I'm with that outlook on the Bears. I think the only promising thing with David Montgomery is his backup is Khalil Herbert. which I don't see him stealing many touches from Montgomery. I think the bigger threat might be Justin Fields' running ability.
Yeah, I forgot to keep that in mind.
Yeah.
No, that's totally true. Like, if they're at the goal line, there's totally Justin Fields could just run it in himself. So I'm glad you brought that up. I completely forgot about that.
And they have Darnell Mooney on their team, who's going to be wide receiver 8.
Okay. So, John, go ahead.
I'll take a look at the opposite side of the coin. So I think he's being underdrafted at this, you know, ADP of 35.
So draft him with one of your third round picks, man. We get it.
I'm really thinking about it.
Do it.
Depending on how, you know, how the chips fall, we'll see. We'll see who's there. So Leighton made a few arguments, one of them being that you'd rather take a shot on guys that are coming after him. Of guys that currently are – so this is projections. So this is statistical projections of people who Sleeper thinks will underperform compared to David Montgomery. Travis Etienne is there. Breece Hall is there. Elijah Mitchell is there. And Clyde is there. Other than that, there's nobody who really stands out that I'm like, yeah, I – go ahead. He's not – statistically speaking, he's not projected lower
than David Montgomery. Well, ADP-wise, you're right. I was looking at just ADP. I'm sorry. Maybe I just want to talk about Haymakers again.
Yeah, you know, it's a nice little name drop. I know that you have to – wait, I'm still waiting for your Lamar slander for the episode. I'm sure it'll
come. It'll come at some point.
Yeah. So those are the guys who are behind David Montgomery in projections. I think that's kind of crazy considering the fact that he was injured last season and he finished at running back 19 on the year. So Leighton talked about his snap percentage in games. He only had – in games that he was healthy and he played, he only had one game where he didn't surpass 60% snap percentage. All of the other games were above that. And that game that he didn't surpass 60% snap percentage, he was at 59% snap percentage. And he actually finished with 18.8 fantasy points in that game. So it absolutely is important, but Damian Williams is no longer in the offense. Khalil Herbert will make a run at those carries, but I like David Montgomery coming into the season. I think he really had a pretty good groove going towards the end of the year when he was catching several passes. He had an 8 reception game, a 6 reception game, a 5 reception game, and a 7 reception game all in a row. So I think the outlook should be positive for Montgomery rather than negative, because he only had two single-digit fantasy performances from week 11 to week 18 last year, and that was at 7.7 and 9.9 points in those two games. So he was really, really strong to finish out the year once he got healthy. So I'm liking David Montgomery, especially since they lost Allen Robinson, and I don't really think Justin
– He did so much long. Last year.
Well, you know, you get what I'm saying. I don't think that Justin Fields is going to be a goal line threat. I think that their offense will flow through Justin Fields, but David Montgomery is much more of a goal line handoff, get across the, you know, foot that you have to go to get into the end zone. So we'll see.
All right. Well, I want you to draft him then, John, in our league. Do it.
I really might.
All right. Well, John, who's your second guy?
So my second guy is Jalen Waddle. His current ADP is 44.1. That is the 16th wide receiver being taken off of the board, and he is projected to be the wide receiver 13 on the year. I know we've currently been having conversation about the Jalen Waddle versus Tyreek Hill debate, and I think it's going to be a very tight race between the two of them. I know that they paid Tyreek Hill, but I think Jalen Waddle is going to take that next step. I mean, last year being his rookie year in the league, he kind of set the world on fire. I think Ja'Marr Chase stole a lot of his thunder, but he had an incredible fantasy season last year, finishing as the wide receiver 13. and I only think he's going to progress. And I really think that Tyreek is going to be kind of a distraction in that offense. His abilities and his quickness, I think, is going to draw a lot of attention from coverages. And Jalen Waddle, last year he only had 6 touchdowns. So that's a number that I could see. I could honestly see it in the double digits. I think he's going to have a phenomenal season. And like I said, he's being taken as the wide receiver 16 off the board, which I think is way too low for Jalen Waddle. So just saying.
John, you know how we were talking about how we don't think you can lose the fantasy league? The way you're talking right now, there might be a chance.
That's a great argument. I really like all the facts that you brought up in that argument. You really did a tremendous job.
Well, hang on. I was getting my point. I don't know. Jalen Waddle was awesome last year. He had a 23% target share. I just think with Tyreek coming in, I just don't think he can replicate that. So his targets are going to go down, personally. So that in a bad offense with lower targets, not saying he will be bad, but I don't know if I can trust it as much.
I think talent prevails in those situations. And, you know, they drafted him, what, 4th overall? 5th overall, maybe?
No, it was later than that. I think it was like 12.
Really?
Yeah, it was like 8 to 12, I'm pretty sure.
I thought he was taken before Jamar.
Jamar Chase? No.
I thought so.
Jamar Chase was like the 4th pick on the overall.
Okay. They still spent a lot of draft capital on him, and Tyreek Hill isn't going to come in and all of a sudden change how the organization views Jalen Waddle. I mean, he is the future, no doubt. So, I don't know. I like his outlook a lot.
All right, Nate, did you have any thoughts, or did you want to move on to your last player?
You guys kind of covered it all. I can just go on to my last player. And I'm really team late enough for this one. I didn't even plan this out, but
I was hoping you wouldn't say anything.
I'm going to go with J.K. Dobbins.
Not even the best running back on his team. All right, I'm done.
There it is. All right.
Jalen Waddle was taken 6th overall, just for the record. Jamar Chase went 1 pick before him, so it's not like I was way off.
Really? I thought. Yeah. Wow. No wonder my
name is earlier than I expected. All right, J.K. Dobbins. This player I am very bullish on for where his ADP is right now. On Sleeper, he's at ADP 49.2, and he's the running back 22 overall. Projecting about 900 rushing yards, 250 receiving yards, 9 total touchdowns. I think this one's kind of a tricky thing to look at because – you have Lamar Jackson in your offense, who's one of the best running backs in the league. But the Ravens are going to be a top 3 rushing offense pretty much every year, and I don't think their identity is changing anytime soon. Obviously, Lamar is going to just continue to kind of get his share of the rushing, playmaking opportunities. But, I mean, I think it takes more than just Lamar to repeat as a top 3 rushing offense. They were plagued by injuries last year, so it was really a committee of a lot of no-name guys that were contributing to that offense. It was pretty disgusting, honestly. But this year, I think, with J.K. Dobbins coming back into the offense, hopefully healthy and recovered from his injury last year, I mean, I think he's absolutely the most talented running back in that system. He could be fresh if he's completely healthy. And if he gets the majority of those secondary rushing opportunities that Lamar doesn't get, I think he'll really, honestly, have a standout season. He's somebody I'm pretty excited about. I think for where he is, as far as the running back rankings right now, the people that are coming after him, some people could argue that Clyde's maybe a better option, but it's really J.K. Dobbins, then Elijah Mitchell and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, who but then after that it's pretty slim pickings for RB1 options. After that, I think I would shoot my shot at that point with J.K. Dobbins at ADP 49. I'm smashing that every time.
Oh yeah, 100%. Where he's going right now is far too low for somebody who's going to get, you know, the workload that he will get at running back. It could end up being a committee with him and Gus Edwards, but Gus is aging, and they both had, you know, injury history from the previous season. So I think J.K. Dobbins is definitely a value. I don't know, as far as, you know, final standings, when you look back at the end of the year, I don't know where I expect Dobbins to fall. Probably not in that top 10 range, but he'll definitely finish above RB25 on the year. So this is a value pick for sure.
I'm kind of out on him. Like, I know he'll be better than where you draft him. I just don't think his ceiling's that high. Because I look back while Nate was describing everything, and I look back at the way he finished, you know, 2020, which is what a lot of people really like. Because over, like, his last, how many games was that? Six games, he averaged 12 points or more. But in those six games, he had four targets. And in those six games, he had seven touchdowns. So obviously that's great. But I'm just kind of out on him because you can't really predict touchdowns. And so that's, I mean, obviously he's going to be a good player at where you're getting him. He's not going to bust unless he's not healthy. I don't think it's a worthwhile swing. I think, like, Clyde and Elijah Mitchell have higher ceilings, which is why I'd take those two over him personally.
Yeah, okay. I did want to kind of push back on that slightly. I do agree with you. I'm looking at 2020 as well. I mean, the numbers don't really jump out, and I think the TD consistency is maybe a concern a bit. But I think you also have to take into account that I think this was this Lamar's MVP season in 2020? Or was that in 2019?
I kind of think it was 2019.
Yeah, it was 2019. Okay. Mm-hmm. But Lamar, yeah, so Lamar rushed for 1,000 yards in 2020. I don't know. Crazy. That is crazy. And I don't know how he's going to be able to keep doing that if they're wanting to make him franchise quarterback. I don't really see it happening. And that was J.K. Dobbins. That was his rookie year, right, in 2020?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah. there was a pretty even split there with him and Gus Edwards, which is a bit of a concern. I don't know.
I don't know. It typically at this point in the draft for me, I'm looking at really big swings, especially if I'm looking at running back. So that's just why I'm out. Again, I don't think he'll be bad per se, but it's just not the type of player I'm going after personally.
Yeah, I mean, I would probably maybe take Elijah Mitchell over J.K. Dobbins if they were both there. But J.K. Dobbins as, like, a safety net at the running back position, when you can get him in, like, the late fifth round, I think is a steal. I mean, if you're drafting him at RB 22 to 25, I don't see how Baltimore's rushing offense is going to regress. And if it doesn't, I think he's just going to get his share.
Yeah.
So it's a safe pick. If you're into taking the swings, then maybe that's not it. But all good points.
So my last player is somebody. Man, I'm just the Debbie Downer this week. I should have changed it up. My last player is Antonio Gibson. I was almost tempted to talk about Josh Jacobs just to be more positive, but I decided not to. I think – actually, you know what? I'm going to change it. I'm going to go with Josh Jacobs. So Josh Jacobs last year, I feel like he's getting slept on a lot because he's going right now ADP of 47, so kind of in the same range as J.K. Dobbins. He was the number 11 running back last year in terms of PPR points, right? Obviously kind of an up-and-down year, wasn't very consistent, but he gets a lot of targets – and sorry, I didn't really prepare for this. I kind of switched at the end, but they didn't bring anybody. I mean, does anybody know Kenyon Drake's still there? Dang it. Oh, I thought he left. Well, I still like Josh Jacobs. I feel like a lot of people are sleeping on him because everybody thinks he's kind of the name, you know, drag with players, but he's the number 11 running back last year. I think the offense will be better. And so I could definitely see him being way more consistent this year. And then I'll touch on Antonio Gibson since I prepared that for. But Antonio Gibson is somebody I'm down on. He's the number 12 running back. wasn't very consistent. And I just don't think the Commanders like him for some reason. Like, they brought back JaDon McKissick, so there goes a lot of his targets. They drafted Brian Robinson in the third round, and there's already been reports about, like, oh, yeah, we're going to have a committee backfield, and Brian Robinson's going to be our goal-line guy. So right. A lot of Gibson's targets could be – or targets, his touchdowns could be gone, which is where he made a majority of his points last year. Because in games where he didn't score a touchdown, it's – you're looking at, like, 6 points, 9 points, 10 points. He got hurt in that game, but 9 and 9. It's just not very appealing. Like, I like the player. I just wish he was somewhere else. I wish we could swap Clyde for Antonio Gibson.
100%. I would.
I would do that in a heartbeat. But
what never made sense to me about Antonio Gibson was wasn't he a wide receiver in college?
Yeah.
And yeah, he was like a he like transitioned to the running back position. I just always thought that it was like they were kind of channeling in his wide receiver pass catching ability, but I was expecting it to showcase last year for sure, and we really didn't get a lot of it. When we did, it was great. I mean, he had like a 80-yard touchdown against the Giants,
yeah.
A couple other big plays, but yeah, I totally agree. It seems like they do not really care for Antonio Gibson or don't trust him, or I don't know what it is, but I'm out, but
it's bad. So John, did you have any like quick points about the guys I brought up?
I think the Josh Jacobs point is interesting, because he even missed two games last year and he still finished as the running back 11. So he definitely flew under the radar, and he's only 24 years old. So the age isn't really a big concern for me either. So, you know, I could definitely see that one working out, and I'm on the same page as Antonio Gibson. I don't, you know, the Brian Robinson news of him getting that goal line work is discouraging for Antonio Gibson, and with the fact that they brought back JaDon McKissick, you know, not a lot of positive outlook signs that we've had this offseason for Antonio Gibson, and he's still going fairly early in my opinion. So, yep, I agree with everything you said.
Yeah, that's a first. I'm just kidding. But, well, guys, let us know, and gals, let us know what you guys think about this. Follow us on Instagram, you know, DM us, ask us a question, comment on our post. You know, we love interacting with everybody, especially Josh. But, you know, just let us know what you think. You know, if there's somebody you don't like, let us know. We might talk about it on the next episode in the Who Am I section. But, well, appreciate you guys joining out. Hope you guys have a great rest of your day, and hope you guys had a better day than all three of us did today. So, signing off.
Thanks, guys.